سنة له independent existence is not independent, no? As you say, all things are interdependent, depending existence. If one is not existing, others cannot also exist. That the meaning of interdependent. Sanskrit word of this interdependent existence is called pratitya samyutpada. Pratitya samyutpada. Like parents and the children relationship of parents and the children, this relationship is because of both of children simultaneously, both of parents appear. That's how the interdependent existences are, like students and teacher. Without student, teacher doesn't exist. Because of learning, student appear and teacher appear at the same time. I don't know what exactly Suzuki Roshi meant. Precise difference between this and that, this and all. That is a uniqueness of all existence, precisely different. In such sense, independent beings are observed. There are no two things in this world. One is you and others are all. In such sense, independent individuals are also observed among all. I think what he meant is depending on something is not necessary. Do you understand?
Maybe
acknowledgement importance of independent being. It's you stands all alone, practice all alone, always. Even you practice with other people, you don't depend on other people. So almost painful realization of you yourself, I myself, as a totally alone existence. Although you see all other beings within your sight, still you are not any of them. And maybe also you have heard face-to-face transmission. Menju is a menju. There's another word of pointing out oral transmission. That men is face, but also you could say shinju, heart to heart, mind to mind, hand to hand, body to body transmission. This maybe Martin could talk about your own experience. My brother did the Menju transmission with him. My big brother. Can you say something? No, you rather not. For practitioner to be chosen as a successor of lineage, it's a very, very honorable. I remember one summer I was 26 years old, I think. My master, Chino Kōei Roshi, he requested me to come back from school. So July, a whole month I stayed with him, and he allowed me to work on the transmission materials. We say sammotsu, three material. One is kechimyaku, meimyaku. The myaku is like ripples of circled ripples of the stone water by throwing stone. That myaku is the ripples. Also, myaku is you listen to the vibration of your heart. No? That each beat, that's myaku also. When you see the mountain ranges, one after another, you see the mountain ranges. That is also myaku. So about 100 generation from historical Shakyamuni Buddha. In Martin's case, you must have 96 or so, no? When you count from Shakyamuni Buddha to 89. Mine is 93 or 4 in my case. Look, 100, about 20 years of life work, time of your life work was counted. Some are rather short, some are very long, but when you see you are about 25 or 30 to rest of your life, you work on this subject. Kechimyaku. Kechimyaku is a very beautiful silk cloth. You put all names of the historical Buddha and successive masters until your own master and your name in the end. It took a long time for you, no?
6 months.
6 months. Master shows 3 material of his own, and then you make an exact copy out of your handwriting. No. This blood lineage, life lineage of the Shakyamuni Buddha, or all ancestors, Kechimyaku. When you take a vow of three refugees, three bodhisattvas, precepts, and tenfold precepts of prohibitory precepts of the Buddha patriarchs. When you receive this 16 precepts all together, you have realized as a generation of, new generation of the Buddha. And Daiji, next Daiji is a great matter, great work. Dai is limitless, endless, limitless work. Of the seven past Buddhas, including Shakyamuni Buddha as the seventh one, it's a big subject. All past Buddhas, present Buddha, Shakyamuni, and you yourself line up on this what made all Buddhas, Tathagatas, to be a Buddha and Tathagatas? It's a subject. I think we spoke about this, no? Next, Shisho is a transmission letter. Sho is a letter of transmission. In Rinzai school, this Shisho appear as the Inka Shomei. Inka is a certified letter from the master to disciple. Inka is a disciple, is observed as a next successor, accomplished practitioner. That's Inka. Inka. This Menju is so that it's your question. It is not independent. You are observed as a new generation, most newest generation of so many ancestors, and your guru, master, stands as the last Buddha to you. And you also realized as a new Buddhas next to this. So behind you, there are many Buddhas. In front of you, there are back of your disciple, no, children, student. So you face toward future, no, and behind you is your own master, many masters behind you. Those things are called Menju no Hōmon, Dharma Gate of face-to-face transmission. So the most essential practice is, of course, sitting in Shikantaza, and upon that, this Dharma Gate of face-to-face transmission as a convey of your own potential accomplishment. So it's kind of, to me, in such young age, this was done to me, and I felt very heavy luggage on my shoulder. In many ways, suffering of practice started from this occasion. Before that, my study was fantastic, no? free choice of subject and whatever I liked, I could study. But once you are kind of hooked, it was very hard. Two wheel of the bhikkhu is sitting alone. Continue sitting alone, and then Monpo listen to the Dharma, Monpo, Sanshi Monpo, we say, join the teacher teaching, join the teaching and listen to the truth, true teaching. Two important subjects, sitting and Monpo. Monpo is any other question? Yes?
Does the tradition, is it necessary to find a teacher alongside yourself, or can you just use the teacher for a shopping? Yes.
In any practice, I think to have a fine teacher is very important, I think. And more than that, you like myself, I feel I'm still very beginner. But more I come to know the truth of myself, you know. What do you say? More humble I become. Because I cannot pretend I am such a good teacher or practitioner. Pretty poor practitioner, I feel. To join you like this make me feel very good, because I can start to practice all over again. I hope your practice go well and life go smooth, and one way or other way you reach to that point that you need oral transmission. Someone come along and say you are accomplished. Even you don't feel you are accomplished, it become very strong, you know, encouragement. Someone besides you confirm your practice. You know. We refer this situation as the two arrows meet and penetrate into each other in the air. Your skill of your archery, skill of student archery become like that. Two arrows fly in the air. If one is strong, one split in half. If two are exactly same in terms of skill and strength, spirit, it interpenetrate. Nimen Leppa, also we call it. Master's face and disciple's face meet and Leppa is come to medium pieces. Empty face that you become. That's my answer to you.
There's something about I have some yearning toward clarity and I'll just say clarity, and but then it seems conflicted because there's another yearning toward comfort, and there's, it's like the wanting for comfort, or now I'm thinking, well, maybe that's pleasure, almost. I'm having sort of a thing about a problem with the struggle between comfort and this sort of diving in. You know, I'm a little uncomfortable. I mean, just a little, not terribly.
Yeah. Everyone understands you.
And when I was watching you, I don't know what you're doing, but you're getting ready to do this, and you're going like that. I have these moments of clarity, you know, something like that, where I don't worry about my own comfort anymore. But, you know, it's just very little bits of time.
There is a koan case which might give you some sense. One day the young monk came to Joshu. You know Joshu? Joshu is the name of the village. Jushin is his Dharma name, Jushin. Joshu, so that is a nickname to him. He lived 120 years, very long life. About that time, his eyebrow was so long, like a water glass by the lake. His eyes were deep, deep blue, it's a socket, sunk in the socket. Mostly, most admired Zen master in China. I love this man. Joshu, Jushin. A young monk came up to him and asked what was the mind of Bodhidharma coming to West. Soshi Seirai no I. The question itself is kind of pointing the occasion of Bodhidharma coming from the India to China. What was the purpose of that coming to West? This opens various kind of question to many people. Soshi Seirai no I, asking the essence of the Buddha's life, Buddha's practice. Joshu just pointed to the huge aged oak tree in the yard. This young monk didn't quite get, saying that Osho, my master, do not show the teaching with outside matter, no? Tree, but what he meant is an important part to understand. What kind of mind pointing the tree and saying that the heart of the Bodhidharma coming to this country. Master say, I'm not talking about oak tree outside there. The monk asked, then show me the truth of Bodhidharma coming to China. Again he points the oak tree. At that time this monk understood, made a deep prostration in front of him. That kind of difficult koan to digest, but it might give you some sense, clarity, asking. It's not sometime in the future or sometime in the past. It's always there with you. Nowhere else but where you are is what it is. Where the trial of your clarity is not sometime before or after. It is always there with you. But from the viewpoint of esoteric teaching, things are not so simple. Truth, Dharma, it's not easy to grasp or touch. Because nature of hiddenness, Dharma is not exposed, always hidden. That's how esoteric teaching operates, its teaching and practice. Shingon is like that. Vajrayana practice is like that, especially when you reach to the final stage, like Dzogchen, you call it, the final phase, Dzogchen. Certainly you have to have accomplished master, not to practice, to be conveyed. It is referred to the hardest rock climbing, with ropes and food or exactly planned to